Here's some of the news stories that we're following at 30 minutes after the hour. The economy takes another hit, and the markets appear ready to follow. They applauded for the opening bell. That's probably the last thing they'll applaud for today. Hiring slowed to a near standstill in June. Employers added only 18,000 jobs. That's the fewest in nearly a year. The unemployment rate rose to 9.2%. To make matters worse, the Labor Department revised the number of jobs added in May down by 25,000. So 2 years after the official end of the recession, companies adding fewer workers despite record cash stockpiles and healthy profit margins. Joining us yet again, Kelly Evans of The Wall Street Journal. Kelly, please, is there any ray of hope for you from you today?
Well, you know, so let's start with the bad news because there's plenty of it. So relative to what people expected coming into today's report, it was, you know, well, forget even expectations. The report was just unilaterally weak. So the economy added just 18,000 jobs last month, as you mentioned. Private sector was in the 50,000 range, but government layoffs contributed to sort of the weak overall figure. And as a result, no big surprise, the unemployment rate rose to 9.2%. Because remember, you know, we need to be adding jobs at least sort of 125, 150,000 pace to keep that unemployment rate steady or falling. So what's interesting is that, you know, we had a weak employment report in May, and that's what really set off a lot of the concerns about the economy being in a soft patch. You know, lately we've started to see those recede a little bit. So people, you know, we had a couple, you know, a month and a half, it was tough for the markets, and lately I started to feel a little bit better about things, and then slam, this one just hits and makes people just question, you know, not just the labor market, but really the U.S. economy in general, and how strong the recovery is, how lasting it might be. So that's the bad news, and there's plenty of it. Leading indicators in the report, signs of momentum, all pointing down. But there is a but, and it is this. I think, first of all, this report doesn't necessarily capture some of the better news we've seen in the markets lately, just in the last, say, couple of weeks, because this was from the second week of June that the survey was done for this report. Secondly, I don't necessarily think it tells us a lot about the economy that we didn't already know or sense, which is that it's weak and disappointing and the labor market isn't great. You know, thirdly, the Federal Reserve probably isn't going to raise interest rates ever. So from that point of view, you know, that will play a little bit well for stocks. And fourthly, you know, when you're looking at Washington right now and the deficit talks, you would hope that this makes the two sides realize that the economy is too fragile to really play around with this, with the August 2nd deadline. They need to get something done. So hopefully adding both the urgency to actually settling on an agreement and also maybe taking out some of the fiscal cuts that would otherwise hit into growth later this year and early next, as it becomes clear the economy really can't handle that right now.
Well, I should give you an update on what the markets are doing. The Dow is now down more than 102 points. The NASDAQ is down 27 points, and the S&P is down 13 points and change. We're speaking with Kelly Evans of the Wall Street Journal about the jobs report that just came back out, in which employers added just 18,000 jobs. That's the fewest in nearly a year, and then the employment rate went the wrong way. It actually rose to 9.2%. But Kelly, you know, we've talked a lot about this gap between these cash stockpiles that many of the larger businesses are sitting on and the fact that they're not hiring. We spoke with Dan Gross of Yahoo Finance earlier, and he said, well, that's because American businesses are more productive and they don't need the workers. But at the same time, Kelly, we also hear reports from people who have jobs saying, I'm working more hours than I ever did before the recession. I mean, are all of these things true?
Well, I think actually I see corporate cash as kind of a symptom of the problem, not the cause of it. We actually just had a CFO conference in D.C. a couple weeks back, and we asked big major companies about this directly. Why is your cash higher than it used to be? And they said, look, for one, cash got way too low before the downturn. We were all caught completely unprepared for what happened with the credit crunch. Two, you know, we're as worried about the economy as anyone, so why shouldn't we have a lot of cash around just to make sure we can make it through this difficult time? And three, we're comfortable with cash being where it is. You know, we're not necessarily looking to kind of plow into further investment or hiring or what have you if we're just as cautious about the outlook as anyone else. So I don't think you can really blame companies for not hiring. You know, certainly we want to see it happen, but you know, there are a lot of people who are keeping cash on hand and not putting money into the market. And it's kind of a self-fulfilling circle in the economy right now. Everyone's cautious, so they're staying and acting in a cautious way. And that's, you know, one of the biggest challenges for the U.S. economy. And a report like this is only going to feed that. It's certainly not going to make that go away. So I think, you know, just to sort of take a step back here and say, you know, the labor market is quite weak. You know, the picture there isn't great. We're seeing sort of downward pressure still on wage growth. But again, you know, I just am going to say before people take this as a sign to throw in the towel, you know, we really have to see just how much the labor market, you know, keep an eye on those weekly jobless claims figures in the next couple of weeks. You know, keep an eye on some of the other reports that will tell us, for example, how the labor market is doing, because this one is very volatile. It often gets revised. And again, I think the best that you can hope for out of a report like this is that it's a reminder that we can't play around with, you know, with the U.S. economy. It's too fragile. The markets are too fragile to handle anything like, you know, a last minute or lack of agreement on raising the debt ceiling or, you know, serious cuts by the way of austerity that would kind of further push us towards that, you know, that concern about recession or outright contraction that you're already kind of hearing about. And, hey, I wouldn't be surprised at this point if the payroll tax cut is extended into next year and if we start to see, you know, other stimulus measures. So it's not necessarily good news for fixing the deficit in the short term. Certainly any long-term fixes that can be made without hitting growth right away, I think, is still the right thing to do. And hopefully we'll see, you know, I know John Boehner is speaking now and others, so hopefully we'll see some signs today that the two parties are going to come closer to an agreement and not just add to the concern that's out there.
Well, speaking of that, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, just spoke moments ago about this jobs report, relating it to Washington spending money is that's not there and saying that they have to deal with the debt limit. This is one of the things that you keep referring to, and what you're talking about is a debate over whether or not they're going to raise the debt ceiling. I don't assume they're going to raise the debt ceiling, but the president has offered cuts to Social Security and Medicare. That's something Democrats oppose, where at the same time, the Republicans have been asked to close some tax loopholes, and that's something that most Republicans very firmly oppose. And Kelly, I mean, I'm sure you can understand the frustration of Americans that they're fighting over things like Social Security, like Medicare, which are safety net programs, and then fighting over things like corporate jet tax deductions that for most Americans, they don't see the reason to worry about that at a moment when there's so many people unemployed. I mean, there seems to be not just this disconnect we were talking about earlier between the big businesses and the unemployed, but a disconnect between this debate you keep referring to and what's really happening in the United States.
Well, and remember, you know, there are a lot of people out there right now who are really uncomfortable with the deficit being the way that it is and just fundamentally feel like we have to do something about it. And after seeing so much pain in the economy, don't want to see the public sector somehow immune from that. So I think we also have to recognize that this is a valid impulse and that it's, you know, coming from somewhere, this appetite for deficit reduction, for cuts. So I think, you know, what's going to be a challenge for Republicans is trying to sort of satisfy a lot of people in their ranks and a lot of the voters, a lot of their constituents who really feel strongly about this, while at the same time trying to, you know, not do something that's going to hurt the economy too much in the short term, as I think, you know, it becomes clearer that is also a valid worry. So we're still hearing them talk about, you know, reducing the size of debt and eliminating government as a source of uncertainty. And, you know, I don't necessarily agree that that's the fundamental cause of the problem, but it's certainly part of it. And so if there can be just better communication about, you know, doing something to make sure that we're addressing these problems long term, that way they can satisfy voters to some degree, or they can try to address this concern that's out there, but without doing it in a way that's going to be really detrimental right now.
Well, that debate is going to be going on all this weekend. The leaders of both parties have been asked to go out and try to get some agreement among the rank and file members and then report back to the president on Sunday. Kelly Evans, The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
President Obama will make some remarks about the June unemployment report from the Rose Garden at the White House. He's expected to begin speaking at 10:35 Eastern. Again, just to rehash the news this morning, employers added just 18,000 jobs. That's the fewest in nearly a year. And the unemployment rate for June rose to 9.2%.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.